passages of Scripture that are primary in this matter. And then John 15, 26 through chapter 16, 13. And there are several other scriptures, as well as the passage from Nehemiah. The first thing I think that we need to get hold of and we need to understand is that God understands our feelings of abandonment. God understands our feelings of abandonment. As Jesus was with the disciples following his resurrection, and as he prepared them for his leaving, I'm certain they had many of these kinds of feelings that you and I have as we experience times of loss or times where we leave someone or someone is leaving us or someone has decided that they no longer want to be our family member or our friend, and there's that sense of abandonment that comes. God understands that. And so abandonment is something that God speaks to in his Holy Spirit and his presence in our lives. So in Nehemiah, the passage that we read earlier, you know, God's talking about this nation Israel who went into the wilderness because of their disobedience, and they became a stiff-necked people to the point that they even, made a golden calf that they said, "This is your God who brought you out of the wilderness, away from Pharaoh, who delivered you out of slavery." And the scripture says that our God is a God of compassion. He's a God who understands that we are sinners, that we fail, that we fall. He's a God that brings forgiveness. He's a God that stays with us. He's a God that does not abandon us. And so as the Israelites were sent into the wilderness for those 40 years, we have this picture of God's presence, the Spirit of God with the people in several different ways. The cloud that led them by daytime and that fire that led them by night. And the food, the manna, and the quail that he sent to them. And when they got thirsty and there was no water, the water came out of the rock. God did not abandon them, even to the point at which the end of that passage, it states that their clothes didn't wear out, nor their sandals in 40 years. Now, let me ask you, how many of you have 40-year-old pairs of shoes in your closet? There may be some of you who do. But it's amazing, God's presence with them during that time of wilderness wandering, and that was the Spirit of God who God sent to be with them during those times. Throughout the Old Testament, we see this. God gave himself to the people. He gave himself to be with them so that they did not have that sense of abandonment. Now, it's interesting. They felt abandoned at times, didn't they? They felt that at times, and yet God is there. And so God comes and reminds them of them of that. Because of God's great compassion, and again, I think we need to hear this over and over again, because of God's great compassion, he never leaves them alone, and he never leaves us alone. God sends his Holy Spirit to be with those who are his own. God sends his Holy Spirit to be with those who have taken Jesus Christ to be our Lord and our Savior. Those who have made him the center and focus of our lives. Now, I just want to walk through a timeline now that helps us again see and be reminded of God's presence through his Spirit. What we read in Nehemiah, first of all, God's great compassion. He stayed with the nation Israel through their many times of wandering. And then secondly, Jesus teaches the disciples before he's arrested, okay? Before he's arrested, in John chapter 14, and I do want to read that. John chapter 14, verses 15 to 27. Let me read these verses where Jesus at this point is promising the Holy Spirit, is promising his presence. He says, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I shall ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." Okay? It's an important couple of words there. He is going to be with us and he's going to be in us. We're going to talk about that then. "I will not leave you as orphans." Okay? "I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Then Judas, not Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything he has said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. This is Jesus' message to his disciples prior to his leaving them. Okay, the third thing here, after the resurrection, so before Jesus goes to the cross, before his death, now after his death, Acts 1, verses 4 to 5, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. In a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So after Jesus' resurrection, you know, before his death, after his resurrection, before his death, he promised the coming of the Spirit. After his death, before his ascension, he promised the Spirit coming. And then the fourth place, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. "All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. The promise was fulfilled." Following this time where they are filled with the Spirit, they were waiting together, and they were filled with the Spirit. From there on, we begin to see the Holy Spirit and his work in individuals, in the church, and what he does in the world. So this promise of the Holy Spirit that has been from the time of the Old Testament through Jesus' teaching now comes, and the Holy Spirit is given and present. So now let's look at the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I want to read John chapter 14 again, and verses, I'm not going to read that whole passage again. We read it, okay, from John 14, that passage where Jesus talks about the Spirit. And Jesus says he lives with you and will be in you. This is, I think, a key passage, a key few words that we need to understand. First of all, God is with us. He's a present helper. So Myron and I were back here praying before the service, and Myron says, "You know, I've been thinking of the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in my life." And Myron told me, he said, "There have been times when I can't sleep. And I pray, and I believe the Spirit comes and gives me peace, and I'm able to sleep." The Holy Spirit is our helper. He's present to help us. And so one of the things that we need to understand, and I've experienced this myself, similar kinds of things, that the Holy Spirit is present with us as a helper. And so there are times in our lives when we face things that, you know, we don't know what to do with, we don't know how to handle, and we say, God, help us. And what we can say is when we say that, we're saying, Holy Spirit, you're here with me, you're present with me, help me now. So the Holy Spirit is present as a helper. He is also in us, a constant presence. Does the Holy Spirit come and go? No. The promise of Jesus and God is that the Holy Spirit is a constant presence in our lives. It's not something that we have to say, Holy Spirit, come. He's already here. The Holy Spirit is already here in us, and He is a constant presence in our lives. So no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, you can be assured of this promise of God that He is with you. As a person who's a Christ follower, as a Christian, that is one of the things that we have all of the time. God is present with us in the person of the Holy Spirit. And then that John 14 passage talks about the fact that He will teach us. One of the things that as I prepare my messages, I pray numerous times in the process of preparing. I pray, Holy Spirit, teach me. Show me. Show me what it is that you want me to understand from this passage. What is it that you want to teach me that then I'm to share? And that's one of the ministries, one of the works of the Holy Spirit is to teach us. And we can understand and believe that God does that. The second thing is that the scripture says here, He will remind us. How often have you been in a place where, you know, something's going on and all of a sudden, you know, you remember a scripture passage. You remember something. You're reminded of something. That's the Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit reminds us of who we are as Christ followers. He reminds us of the scriptures that God has given us that maybe at this exact time it is what we need. I know Margaret, oftentimes in the mornings when I get up, she's had her she's had her devotional time, and she will say to me, God reminded me of this. Sometimes it's a scripture, but one of the things that Margaret has done over the years is journaled. And so every Christmas, for Christmas, she gets two or three journals, and she fills them every year. And she at times will go back to those journals because she remembers that she was going through something in particular 3 or 4 or 10 or 20 years ago. And she'll pull that journal out and see what she was feeling or experiencing then and then how God responded. God reminds us through His Spirit of our past, of who He is, of His teachings for us. A second thing, the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is a passage that we often go to that lists numbers of the gifts of the Spirit. And in that passage, we read these words. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given, and here are three words that are important, for the common good. For the common good. All these things are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. The ministry of the Holy Spirit, God sent His Spirit. Why? Well, for us individually, but it's not just for us individually. One of the things we talk about all the time is relationships. That's why we gather as a church, because we need each other. We need these relationships that encourage us and bless us and help us. God gave the Spirit, His Spirit, for the common good. Folks, God wants us to be sharing in each other's lives for the good of each other. He gives us these gifts of the Spirit for our common good. They're not just given to us willy-nilly for no reason at all. They're given to us for the common good. The other thing that is stated here in 1 Corinthians 13 is this. Every Christian gets the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit decides to give them. Okay? So how do we get the gifts of the Spirit? We get them because the Holy Spirit gives them to us. Okay, now we're not talking about having the Holy Spirit in us. We're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, the lists that are in 1 Corinthians 13 and several other passages that are gifts of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives them to us accordingly to how He wants us to have them. So we don't all get all of the gifts of the Spirit, but we all get some gifts that the Holy Spirit decides to give us for what purpose? For the common good. Okay? So, none of us are more important than anyone else. All right? Each one of us is important to each other. Each one of us is important to the body of Christ. Each one of us is important for the other person. The gifts that God gives us through the Spirit, those spiritual gifts, are for our common good. And so the gifts that are yours, you have those to help me in my Christian walk in my life. The gifts God has given me, I'm responsible to be helping you for your good. That's what God does as He gives these gifts. Now, the next thing, number three. The Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit are evidence of our salvation. Holy Spirit living. Holy Spirit living. You know, Myron, again, when we were praying this morning, reminded me of my great-grandfather, M.G. Engel, and his teaching on sanctification. You know, we're saved and we're sanctified. What's sanctification all about? It's about living the way God wants us to live. It's about Holy Spirit living. It's about these gifts of the Holy Spirit that are given to us, and we're going to read them here in a minute. The gifts of the Spirit, okay? So, salvation, evidence of salvation is Holy Spirit living. One, serve one another humbly in love. Again, this reminder that God gives us that we're not to become prideful of the gifts that we have. Humbly and in love, serve one another. Again, there's that relational piece that is always a part of who we are. As people, number one, but as Christ followers, serve one another humbly in love. Then it says, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. This piece of love, this teaching about love, is something that we see all of the time. All of the time. And it's something that we continually need to be working to perfect. It needs to be something that we not only understand to be what God tells us to do, but it needs to become a part of how we live. Now, this passage from Galatians chapter 5, and I'm going to read it this morning. Galatians chapter 5 and verses 13 to 26. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, here it is, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And here he lists the acts of the flesh. The acts of the flesh are obvious, he says. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. One of the realities of life is that we often become prideful, thinking that we have and are something special above and beyond other people, other persons. Unfortunately, this is not simply something that happens in the world. This is something we need to beware of and fight against within the context of the church. Christians, brothers and sisters, this is God's word to us. We need to listen to these. In this listing, there are 9 do's and 3 don'ts. Okay, God says, do this, do this, do this. And he says, don't provoke one another. Don't envy one another. Don't be conceited. Evidence of the Holy Spirit in our lives is seen in these realities. So what do we believe as we wrap this up? Number one, the Holy Spirit is given to us at the time of our salvation. We're never abandoned, and we're never left alone. The Holy Spirit is our comforter and our helper. Number one, the Holy Spirit is given at the time of salvation. He never leaves us. He's our helper, our comforter, our teacher. Number two, the Holy Spirit gives all Christ followers gifts according to his will, and these gifts are for the sake of evangelism and building up the church, the body of Christ. Number three, the Holy Spirit instructs and teaches, giving us understanding of God's word and the scriptures. Number four, the evidence of salvation is seen in the fruits of the Holy Spirit that are evident in our living. The promise of God is that he's never going to abandon us. He's never going to leave us. He is with us always. The Holy Spirit is in us. Constant presence. The Holy Spirit is with us. He is our present helper now. Many times there are questions about the Holy Spirit, what a person believes, what they understand. And it's one of the questions that often comes to me as people want to know who we are as brethren in Christ, what we believe and what we feel. There's much in Scripture that talks about this. We all just need to be reminded that from the very beginning, God gave his Spirit. Why? Because he has compassion on us. He loves us. And he gives his Spirit because we need his presence and we need his help. We're going to close by singing Standing on the Promises. The songs that we have sung already this morning talk about God's help, his presence with us. And as we close, we're going to sing this hymn that talks about standing on this promise that God has given of his presence always with us.